Please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. I appreciate the all around the encouraging and uplifting music this evening. And it speaks to your heart. The song, first hymn we sang, How Firm a Foundation, it fits very well with the message. It's probably one of my top three or four favorite hymns. But it just encourages me, that last verse, and I've probably read it and emphasized it to you before, but it says, that soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no never, no never forsake. How powerful is that? I would worry about things, as young people are wont to do at times when I was young, and a lot of times maybe that would be at night. And I remember my dad telling me this. He told me, you need to, probably was annoying him, probably wished I'd just go to bed and stop worrying about whatever it was I was worrying about. But he would tell me, he said, son, you need to just rest in Jesus. Just rest in Jesus. It kind of registered what he meant by that. Just, you know what the Bible says. You know what the Lord says. Now pillow your head and rest in what he has to say. Just let go and rest there. And I've had to go back to that many times in life. And that verse there particularly reminds me of that. I was reading this week about Moses and Moses' mother when Moses was a baby. You remember the story there? There was a wicked Pharaoh who had enacted a partial birth abortion plan. And I say that on purpose. That's what it was. And when that didn't work, he took it a step further to do away with these young babies. And Moses' mom and dad had faith. They knew that was not what God would have them to do. And when she did everything she could do, and she had a responsibility. I think it's clear. A mom has a responsibility to a baby. A father has a responsibility. When she had done everything that she could do, you know what she did? She put it in the river in God's hands and said, it's yours. Yep. She put that child in the basket, laid it in the Lord's hands, said, Lord, it's yours. That's all. I've done everything I can do. And, you know, sometimes you get to that point where you go, I've done everything I can do. I've done my best to fulfill my God-given responsibility. Lord, it's in your hands. I'm going to lay it in a basket in the river and just kind of sit back and let you work. And that's a good place to be. I want to read a couple of verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and read three verses. Really, I want to focus on the parentheses in verse 7. The Bible says, therefore, we are always confident. That's how firm a foundation, that confidence we have. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Dear Lord, please help us tonight. Help us to grow in you. Help us to lean on you. Help us to rest in you. Help us to go forward from the foundation that you have given us, and we thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen. I was asked a question a couple of weeks ago. It was a good question. Sometimes people ask you all sorts of questions, and college kids ask all sorts of questions. You can only imagine the questions that we get there. And, you know, high school kids, you get questions there. And church people ask questions. I mean, you know, you get questions, and sometimes you don't always have the answer. Sometimes you have to look into it. Some questions you go, wonder why they're asking them. Sometimes we get phone calls. Having a presence on the internet gets you a certain level of people feeling like you have an answer for something. And I don't know why. I mean, we offer that as a help and a service and an outreach to people. But every now and then, and these always make me nervous when that phone rings and it's been transferred to me and I answer it. And this person goes, yes, you don't know me, but I saw you online. I was wondering if you could help me with something. And immediately I'm going, oh no, is this being recorded? Is this going to be on like CNN later, whatever they're going to ask me or what. But so you get all sorts of questions. But this was a particularly is a very honest question, a good question, and I answered it there, but I haven't forgotten about it. And the question was this: how do I walk by faith? How do I live by faith? You know, I was thinking about that. That's something that we talk about and something that we say, but you know, there is a reality to it we need to understand. It's not just something that we talk about. The things of Scripture are not merely things that we study for some sort of mental exercise. It's something that we study in order to put into practice and do. That's how all of Scripture is. Even the depths of doctrine have practical implications that are to be implemented into our lives. If someone sits in a university classroom and they open the Bible and they just critique it and pick it apart for the sake of academic endeavor, you know, they've missed the point. They're not going to get out of it what they should. And so that was the question. What does it mean to live by faith? Now, when we think about that, you can almost begin to think that that's merely the calling of a select few people, the giants of Christianity. We often think about people that, like out of Hebrews chapter number 11, where they did all sorts of wonderful and fantastic things. I mean, Noah built an ark for the saving of his house, and he saved the world through the building of that ark and the flood that took place there. We might think of a great missionary like William Carey, who said, "Expect great things from God and attempt great things for God." I mean, don't you wish you had said that? I mean, don't you wish you could put your name to that and go, I said that, I mean, and then to know the life and the story that backed it up. It was somebody who wasn't afraid to step out on faith and leaving and going across oceans and a totally different time frame, a totally different era, and just launching out for the Lord. And you think, boy, what a giant. Obviously, they understood that's what living by faith is. It's something for one of those giants. Or we might think of a George Mueller, who saw God provide mightily for his work with the orphans and educating young people there in England who came from very poor backgrounds and difficult backgrounds, and how God provided there. You hear Pastor Townsley even telling the story of praying for bread and the bread truck, you know, stopping outside and they had to, you know, bring it into him, the wagon, and it was all there. And you think, man, that's living by faith. That's what it is. That's for those people. You know, that's for, you know, Evangelist Mueller. That's for missionary William Carey. That's for Patriarch, Abraham. It's for those things. It's not for someone who's an accountant or someone who's a plumber or someone who's a school teacher. But really, if that's how we think of living by faith, then we assign it to just someone who does these great historical feats, something that is on the history page, something that we read a quote from, like, expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. If that's what we think of, then we're really missing what it means to live by faith. These things that these men and many others like them and women have accomplished that we see, and we think about, like, Noah building an ark, or Mueller in his orphanages, or William Carey and his missionary enterprises, or an Eddie Ray in China right now. We think about all of those things. What we tend to think about is the results of what happens when they live by faith. And you know, that's not really my obligation to pursue. In other words, the call to live by faith is not the call to do some fantastic thing. Now, sometimes when people live by faith, there are fantastic, even history-making things that happen, and history-shaking things that happen, but those things are the product of a life that is lived by faith. You know what is also the product of a life lived by faith? It's a mom who faithfully helps and trains and nurtures her children in the way that the Bible says to. It's a teacher who stands up faithfully and communicates what God has given them to do and does so day in and day out. It's a pastor that that gets behind a pulpit day in and day out and week in and week out without much notoriety and just faithfully does what God has given them to do. It's a employee at a workshop somewhere who sees it as their responsibility to live as a Christian and to do their best to give the gospel to their coworkers and to their neighbors around them. You see, living by faith encompasses all of those things, not just the grand and not just the big and not just the fantastic. It's something that should apply to every born-again child of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 gives a glimpse, and when you look at the bigger passage than what we just read, it gives a glimpse into what the future is for the believer. He reminds us that our current world is temporal and mortal. Look at verse number 4. It says, "For we that are in this tabernacle," that's used to describe this body that we live in, "for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for what that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon." I love this phrase here, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. You know, that's the biblical view of death for a believer. It's exactly the opposite of how we view death. If someone passes away, and I don't ever take that lightly, and I never would present that as a light thing, but when someone passes away, we describe it in this way. We'll say their life is over, or their time on earth is ended, or their we use it in a finishing sense. But God turns it the other way, and He says, for a believer, that their physical death is actually the end of their mortality and the beginning of life. It's not really the end then, it's the beginning. That is where we actually step into the fullness of what it means to have everlasting life. But this world and our bodies and everything around it is temporal. So we learn that from the passage. But then our future for a believer, this primarily this evening is to believers, people who've trusted Christ as their Savior. Our future is life in the presence of our Lord. That's what our future is. Verse 6. "Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord." So our present is a mortal and a fleeting world. That is what we live in now. But our future is an eternity in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Tucked in all of this is a reminder. It's in parentheses even, that we walk now in the mortal, in the temporal, that now that we walk by faith, not by sight. Hebrews 11 and verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." In other words, and you bring that into verse 7, we walk by faith and not by sight. Faith is what makes the unseen things of heaven real on this earth. You think about the examples given in Hebrews 11. For example, Noah again in the building of the ark. God said there would be a flood. God told him how to build the ark. God told him what to do with it. No one could see it. No one had seen anything of it. But because of Noah's faith, what God said became real and visible here on this earth. Now, the truth of it wouldn't have changed if Noah had defied God, but it became a reality to this planet as Noah believed God and people could see it face to face, what was happening, what would take place. One day, our faith that we live in now will become sight. I've never seen heaven, and you haven't either. Talk to all sorts of people, you get all sorts of funny stories. Ask somebody if they were saved once. I had an opportunity to witness to them a little bit and ask them if they'd ever been saved. "Oh yeah, I've been saved. I was in this car accident and I was unconscious and I saw this bright light and I saw this being, angel of some sort, talk to me and tell me that you're going to be okay. And then I woke up and I came to and I was saved." All right, let me ask the question a different way. maybe we're not talking on the same wavelength here. That, you know, there's all sorts of things our mind can do with it, but none of us have seen heaven. None of us have seen what he describes here. So what do we do now? We believe in it. Every time, you know, you mention heaven, people get excited. What do we do now? We walk by faith, that right? Not by sight, we walk by faith. And so that is how we live this life. We literally live as a believer. We're to live this life by faith. Faith in that which we do not see, but that we know is real. I want you to consider a few things this evening. First of all, we live all of life by faith. You know, living by faith is not something that you do once or twice or maybe three times a week, maybe four times if you enjoy, come to a Sunday school class. I mean, it's more than that. It's not just something you might hear a stirring message, something that really gets your heart, gets to your heart, and you might during an invitation time like we have at the end of every message, you might actually come forward. Or you might even where you're standing, you might just pray, breathe a prayer to the Lord and acknowledge, boy, that you are working in my heart about this. And then you say, boy, that's living by faith. No, that's a part of living by faith, but that's not it. Living by faith encompasses all of life. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, the Lord uses a word that he uses also in Ephesians to describe how a Christianity is to impact their life here on earth. He says, for we walk by faith. And that, that always jumps out to me because your walk is literally about the most basic element of your day. You parked your car and you stepped out of it to walk in this building. You got out of bed this morning and you got ready and you walked outside to go to work. It's like he's using the most basic element of our day. He doesn't say you live in triumph by faith. Because let's face it, there's only a handful of times it seems where in this mortal world that we live in where we feel like it's just great triumph in that moment. He didn't say you triumph in faith. He didn't say you church in faith. Even though all of that should be, he said, we walk by faith. So every part of our life and existence is to be faith. It's not, it should not be. You know what? I'm sick. So I better learn how to have me some faith so God can heal me. It's not, I need money. So you know what? I better learn how to trust God right now because I need money. That's not what living by faith is. It's something that encompasses all our life, whether you have money, whether you don't, whether you're well or whether you're sick, whether you're in church or whether you're at work, whatever it is, it encompasses all of life. When talking about the issue, Romans chapter 14 deals with one of those unique issues for their time. It has to do with Christian liberty and eating meat that is offered to idols. And we can take a look at that at some point, But at the end of that passage, he says this, hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself and that which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. He says something similar to that in concept in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. He says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. In other words, if I'm going to live by faith, that is something that is to touch every part of my life, not just my church life, not just a moment of triumph, not just a moment of need where I realize I need to call out to God for help here, even though all those things can be appropriate in the right way. It is to touch more than just that. It is to touch every part of our life. Let me ask you this. Are you here by faith tonight? I hope you are. You know, you can be. And you know what's interesting about it? You can have two people sitting on the same pew. One of them is in church by faith and the other one is in church for some other reason. One of them's in church because they believe God and believe this is what it have for them. They're here to get help from the Word of God. They're here by faith. And another one's here because they go, oh, if I don't come, Pastor Boyle's going to wonder where I'm at. You know, you could do the same thing and one not be by. Let me ask you this. So you're in church by faith. Did you go to work by faith today? Did you have that difficult meeting with your boss today by faith? Did you Did you interact with your coworker today by faith? Did you make decisions, you know, about what you do in your spare time and how you carry your life and what you do? Are you making those decisions by faith? You say, well, wait a second. We're talking about living by faith, not talking about those things. Living by faith is supposed to be something that characterizes the entire life of a believer. He says, we walk by faith. In Romans 14, he says, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So living by faith is something that should characterize every part of our life. Something that impacts all of it. Every decision that we make in the life of faith should be guided by faith.
Amen.
It's not guided by the flesh. It's not guided by popular opinion from the world around us. It's not guided by peer pressure. It's not guided by anything else but our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's given to us in His Word. So living by faith is something that impacts all of life. Secondly, living by faith is to live in confidence. Two times in the three verses that we read initially. He says, therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. Verse number 8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. It mentions confidence twice. Now, this confidence, the word here means to exercise courage. The person who lives by faith is not confident in themselves, so everything he's talking about here is not a self-righteous confidence. We're not talking about someone who is proud and boastful within themselves. Look at me. Look at what I do. I am distastefully confident in the sense of if you're not doing it my way, you're wrong because it's my way. Not that kind of confidence, but rather it is a confidence that is placed in the Lord Jesus Christ. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord. That's the concept of confidence here. That knowing that that soul that on Jesus doth lean for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That confidence that says, and though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never forsake. That's the confidence that he's talking about here. Not confidence in oneself, but confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has given us to do and what he's given us here in his word. Living by faith is to live in a confidence of what Jesus has said. We know that what we cannot see is a reality. You know, I already said nobody in here has seen heaven, but yet I guarantee you, if you were to take a poll going out of here of everybody who is of age who is here tonight and said, do you believe in heaven? It's probably going to be pretty close to 100%. People are going to confidently say, yes, I do. We know that we do what we do. It's not based on opinions or companionship of those that are around us, but it's based on the person, the unchanging person of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
See, that's confidence. It's that confidence that helps a person look around and go, you know what, my friends are not doing what I'm doing, but I'm going to do what God wants me to do. My peers aren't with me, but I have a confidence in the Lord, and whether I have to, do it, hopefully with friends and people that are with us, even if it's me by myself, I have a confidence in the Lord that living a life of faith is the way that I'm supposed to live. I'm not looking to social media for my opinions about things. I'm not looking to be pressured from all different angles. I have a confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I live by faith in what He has said in His Word. A person who lives by faith is growing, because we've never arrived, have we? But is growing in that confidence and courage that Jesus brings.
Amen.
You know, there's a lot of things that can shake us in 2021, isn't there? There was a lot of things that could shake somebody in AD 60 as well. I mean, you think about what they were dealing with. And yet, the Apostle Paul here writes, we are always confident.
Amen.
Verse 8, we are confident. Why? Living by faith brings courage in the Lord and brings a certain confidence in Jesus that is unshakable, that cannot be moved. So, are you living by faith? Or are you blown about by every wind that comes around? Do you sit in church and you hear Pastor Townsley preach a message? You go, what? You know what? I see that. That's right. Then you go home and you log on to social media, or you pick up your phone and you look and you go, oh, this person says that this is wrong. Well, I don't know. Maybe what they said in church isn't right. Maybe what the Bible said isn't right. And, that's not living by faith. Again, it's not arrogance, but it's a confidence in what God says in His Word and what Jesus and who Jesus is. Thirdly, living by faith is to live in the companionship of Christ. The apostle looked ahead with joy at the prospect of being absent from the body, which would mean he would be present with the Lord. A person who lives by faith learns to be content with that companionship. Christ is in us. He talks about the Holy Spirit, verse number 5. Now, He that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who is also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. He's given us the Comforter. He's given us the Holy Spirit, and we live in that companionship chiefly. We live by faith, by understanding that our chief goal, he goes on down, we don't have time to get into it in 2 Corinthians 5, talking about the judgment seat of Christ even, where we live with the understanding that my main concern and my main goal in life is not to please anyone else, but it's to please the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? It's worth it to please Him. I kind of meant to say this even at the beginning. You know, living by faith is the way to live, believer. It's the way for a Christian to live and to exist. I have moments. I'm human like everybody else, and you have moments where you don't live by faith, and hopefully those moments don't turn into days and months, and which, you know, at times they can. But I've been there, and I have had moments of living by faith, and I've had moments where I'm not so much living by faith. And I'll tell you right now, the living by faith wins every time. There is no comparison. The peace and the joy of knowing I am walking on this earth, and my main mission is to please the Lord Jesus Christ, brings so much, it answers so many questions, and it brings so much confidence in the way that it's used here. So much peace, so much joy, so much rest. You can't duplicate that any other way. You know, are you living by faith? What affects you more? What your co-workers think, or what your friends think, or what Jesus thinks. He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You've never had a friend say that before. You might have had one say things, maybe someone very sincerely, say things like, I'll always be there for you, and they may mean it, and they may actually follow through in every way they can, but there is no person on this planet that can fulfill that in the way the Lord Jesus Christ did when He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. See, to live by faith is to live in the companionship with Christ. Fourth thing, living by faith is to live in obedience to Christ. So how this gets down to those, just where the shoe leather meets the road. He says we walk by faith. Simply stated, we obey the Lord. How to live by faith? We obey the Lord with biblical confidence. We obey the Lord with biblical confidence. We know that He will provide the help that we need, and He will provide everything that we need in order to obey Him with that biblical confidence. Living by faith is complete surrender to His will. This fits well with what Pastor Townsley was preaching on Sunday evening. It's already going in this direction, and it's just really talking about the will of the Lord and Jacob and him needing to surrender. You know, he needed to surrender to the Lord. That's played out in a very pictorial way, and it's the same struggle that you and I have. Living by faith is living in obedience to Christ, which means that we live in complete surrender to His will. Whatever He wants is what we want. Whether it's missionary like a William Carey, or orphanages like a George Mueller, or building an ark like a Noah, or starting a church in Southington, Connecticut, or working at a factory, or working in an accountant's office, or working in a doctor's office, whatever it might be, you know what it should be? It should be done in complete submission to the will of the Lord. You know, don't work for money. Work by faith for Him. It'll revolutionize everything you do. I mean, you know, God will take care of those needs. It is to resist the pull of things that would distract us. You know, our faith focus has competition all around us. All around us. I just happened to read an article today that, or I saw something in an article, said that Super Bowl, which isn't until like February, I don't know, by now it might be in June, who knows, they extend all these things out, but the Super Bowl coming up in what will be 2022, said they only have a few ad spaces left, and they've sold some ad spaces for as much as $6.5 million for, I guess, a 30-second ad. Can you imagine that? Somebody spending right now $6.5 million and putting together some sort of campaign in order to distract you towards them. Think about all that competition that's there. But to live in obedience to Christ is to resist that pull. It is to avoid that which He warns us about. It is to choose His guidance over every other opinion. That is to live by faith. I had a first time I ever taught in a classroom, like in an academy classroom with young people. It was a junior high classroom. And there was a young man in there who was, he liked to argue, and he was the lawyer type. You know, he liked to take every angle towards everything and make things much more complicated. You know, you would think don't talk in class is about as simple as it gets, but he had angles and all sorts of things to it. And you know, he would feign frustration, you know, over something silly like that. Like, I just don't understand what. And I would say, I'll look at him and say, just do right. Just do the right thing. And of course, now, what do you mean? But you say do right. And I like, just do the right thing. You know what? Living by faith boils down to that so many times. You know what? Just do the right thing. Do it by faith. Don't do the right thing because somebody else is telling you, oh, this is the right thing to do. Do the right thing because you know, hey, this is pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then do that today. You got about 4 hours left of today. So, well, I'm only going to be in church for a few minutes. Remember, it's a whole life thing. I mean, think about this when you leave here. Think about this when you're going to bed at night. Am I living by faith? And then just do the right thing between now and the end of today. You see, that's an immediate action you can take. And then tomorrow, you know what? You get up, live by faith, do the right thing. Do what God wants you to do. And then repeat that on Friday. And then repeat that on Saturday. And don't be shaken by all the things that Satan tries to shake us with about what if this happens and what if that happens and what if all these things happen. We can't control all of the what ifs. All we can do is live by faith right now in this moment and know, have a confidence that He is going to take care of us and help us in our time of need. Are you living by faith? Hopefully that makes it a little bit practical, gives us some things to think about. I just hope you'll ask yourself the question, am I living by faith? Dear Lord, we thank You for the day.